authority to say of Rome, holy this Yitzhak. Why? Because what bothers Rashi is, why the repetition? Yitzhak ben Avraham, Avraham holy this Yitzhak. Lefi shehoyu letzonei hador omrim. Because the light-headed people of the generation would say, may Avimelech nis Abrosoro. She became pregnant right after the Maisa with Avimelech. Why? Sheharei kamo shorim shoasuim Avraham veloi nis Abrosoro. Because you see, Avraham Avinu wasn't able to get her pregnant. You see, right after she was with Avimelech, she became pregnant. So perhaps it's Avimelech who got her pregnant. Ma also a Kodesh Borku, Tsar cluster ponov shel Yitzchok. He made the face of Yitzchok dome l'Avraham. He should look exactly like Avraham Avinu. Ve'eidu hakoil Avraham holy this Yitzchok. Ve'zeu shekosav kan Yitzchok ben Avraham hoyo sharei eidu siyesh she'Avraham holy this Yitzchok. You see, it's a testimony. You can see on his face that Avraham holy this Yitzchok. So according to Rashi, Avraham holy the Yitzchok means that everybody said Avraham holy the Yitzchok because they look alike. The Amek Dovor says, well, obviously we're not talking about the physical similarity, even though it may be included that we are talking about the physical similarity. The Amek Dovor says that, of course, we are talking about the Derech. We're talking about the Derech Chaim, the way of life, the way he directed his life, that Avraham holy the Yitzchok. But I thought that you must say that's what Rashi means too, because otherwise it makes absolutely no sense if you learn Rashi literally, not like the Amek Dovor, right? The Amek Dovor says what Rashi really means is just one aspect of looking alike, right? Just the physical aspect. But the physical aspect was just part of the whole derech of Yitzchok. So if you take Rashi literally, that we are only talking about the physical appearance of Yitzchok. So if so, where should it be? Where should it say this statement, Avraham holy this Yitzchok? It should say right after the birth of Yitzchok. In other words, in Parshas Vayero, when Yitzchok is born and he becomes a little bit older, it should say Avraham holy this Yitzchok. That as he grew older, people were able to say Avraham holy this Yitzchok. By now, let's face it, you know, he's this 60 years old. I mean, we are talking after the Akedah, after the marriage, now we are going to talk about his having the children. This is 60 years old. So you mean that we wait until she is 60 years old to say Avraham holy this Yitzchok? Why say it now? You know, if we take Rashi literally, that we are only talking about the physical appearance of Avraham Avinu, of Yitzchok, it doesn't make any sense. Now, according to the Amek Dovor, it makes sense. If we are talking about the pattern, the Derech HaChaim, the spirituality of Yitzchok, that's what we are trying to describe, then it's a perfect place to say it. Why? Because here in Parshas Toldos is the first time that we see Yitzchok taking initiative to doing something on his own. Up to Parshas Toldos, we don't know Yitzchok. We know in his passiveness, of course, it's also knowing. But he doesn't do anything. Things are done to him up to this point. From the beginning, Yishmael may be a bad influence over him, so Sarah makes sure that they are separated. The Akedo, again, who does the Akedo? Of course it's for Yitzchok. But it's Avraham that does everything. The marriage of Yitzchok. What part does Yitzchok take in the marriage? Very little, really. I mean, let's face it, it's Avraham Avinu that sends the agent. It's the agent that decides in the method, and decides in the girl. I mean, everything is done to Yitzchok. Now, for the first time, Yitzchok is going to be doing certain things. So before we start with the Toldos Yitzchok, in other words, the actions that Yitzchok take in an active sense, we have to say, listen, even though Yitzchok is going to do things that are maybe different than Avraham Avinu, which he does, there are things that don't fit into the pattern of Avraham Avinu, as you are going to see. Even so, you should know that we could see in his actions the qualities of Avraham Avinu. Even in their differences, you see their similarities. And the importance of it is, of course, that Avraham and Yitzhak represent the first link. The first link between father-son in a Jewish sense. That's the first father-son theme in Klal Yisrael, after all, right? So, therefore, it's very important to say that even though they represent two generations, so, still, you can see the similarities in the dissimilarities. And there are dissimilarities, there are differences, but in the differences, you see the pattern. It's the same pattern, it's the same Abdus Hashem. And this is what it means, of course, in a metaphoric sense. Who is the real father of Yitzchak? Is it Avraham? In a metaphoric sense, of course, physically it's Avraham. When he's 60 years old, by then already we had no doubts. But maybe it's really Abimelech. In other words, maybe the influence of his life will be Abimelech. Who is Abimelech? Abimelech is the most successful, the most powerful king in Eretz Yisrael. There were many kings in Eretz Yisrael, but Abimelech was probably the most powerful, the richest, the most successful within Eretz Yisrael. So, maybe Yitzchak will adopt Abimelech as his father? No way. Meaning, in his way of life, you don't see any similarity between Yitzchak and Abimelech. Again, we're not talking about physical appearance. That's something secondary. We're talking in the way he behaves. So that's what people said. Everybody said, you see, when he'll grow up, he'll be another Abimelech. You'll see. He's a man who's going to want power, he's going to want wealth. What came out? That his scale of values was exactly like Avraham Avinu's. This is what the real meaning of Avraham Oilis et Yitzchak. From his behavior, you can see that it's Avraham that's his father, not Abimelech. Avraham is his main influence over his life, in his life, and not Abimelech. So now, in Pasuk Chof Yitzchak ben Avoim Shono, Bekachto Yesrifko, Bas Psuvel Orami, Mipadan Arom, Achoy Slomon Orami, Loili Isho. Says Rashi again. The story, who he took. I mean, we know from the Parsha before exactly who Rivka is, who his her father is, who her brother is. So, that's what Rashi asks. V'chi adayin lo yinichtav shibas psuel v'choy slovon. Elo. Lehagid shivocho. To tell you the praise, the Torah is praising her. In spite of the fact that she came from such an environment, from such parents, from such brothers, they made a good, happy couple, even though they come from different backgrounds. Right? So we might have thought that that's not a good shidduch. You see, it did work out. Bekachto yesh Rivko. He took Rivko. You know, there's a good mekach, you know, it's a good pair, even though the backgrounds were so different. Still, the mention of the background on the surface doesn't make sense because we don't see how it connects with the next point. But if we keep in mind the problem, why the background of Rivka is mentioned right here, we'll be able to clarify it after we see something in the next pasuk. Take a look at the next pasuk. Vayetar Yitzchok Lashem lenochach ishtoi. And Yitzchok prayed lenochach. So, lenoichach is a very difficult word. Because lenoichach means in front of. What do you mean you pray in front of your wife? That he prayed in front of his wife? How does it make sense? I mean, what does it mean? Says Rashi, lenoichach, ze oimed vezovit zu mispalel, vezo oimed vezovit zu mispalel. Each one was in a different corner. Again, extremely difficult because we don't see any relevance of it. What is the relevance that Yitzchak stood in a corner and not in the middle of the room, right? And that Rivka was in the other corner, Noichach, not in the same corner. They didn't share the same corner. What's the difference? And if they did share the same corner, and if they didn't stand in a corner, obviously there is something here that has to do with corners, zovis. What is it? What is it all about? And then it says, Ki akoro hi. Because she's an akoro. That's why he prayed. Because she's sterile. She can't have any children. There is a very interesting gamatria, you know, the meshe chochmo. hardly ever does he use a gamatria to explain something. In the Hasidic form, you find a lot of gamatria. Meshech Chochmah, it's not so usual, but here he does. It's very nice, you know. The word he, you realize that it's not spelled correctly. Do you see how the word he is spelled? Ki akoro he. How should it be spelled? Hey. Yud Aleph. Why is Hey Vov Aleph? So he says like this. You know, the Gemara says in Ivomois that in the average, a girl, before she passes 11 years of her life, it's not the normal Derech HaTeva to have children. In other words, we can assume that 11 years, Eino Molido. She doesn't give birth for 11 years. Now, how old is Rivka right now? You know, she has to be 12 years old in order to be able to get pregnant normally. Of course, there are unusual cases that girls got pregnant before, but normally 12 years old. How old is she now? Let's figure, what? 23, right? Because when they got married and Yitzhak is 40 years old, she's three. Right. She is born by the Akedo, according to the Midrash. By the Akedo, he's 37, Yitzhak. When they got married, she's only 3 years old. Here, Yitzhak is 60 years old. So how old is she? 23. Now, what is the gamatria of who? Hey, Vov Aleph. What? Hey, Vov Aleph is 12. So now, take off 12 from 23, what? It's 11, which means like this. So how long is she an akoro? You can't call the first 11 years of her life an akoro, because no one can give birth for the first 11 years. So how many years of an akoro does she have now? 12. So ki akoro hu. Right? You know, even though it's he, but since the gamatria of who is 12, he says this fits, right? The prayer. The prayer was that the akorus, that the her sterility of the last 12 years should disappear. So the prayer is for akoro hu, for the 12 years. And it's gamatria. So good. So he's praying. And then it says like this. Vayeoser loy Hashem. And Hashem answered, loy him. Now this is very unusual, because Rashi just finished saying that across the room in the other corner, Rivka is praying. And they are both praying for the same thing. So what does it mean that he answered him? Right? He answered both of them. Vayoser Hashem. Why Vayoser loy Hashem? Another difficulty. Why loy? Says Rashi, Vayoser loy, loy veloy lo. Hashem didn't answer her prayers, only his prayer. Why? Shein doime tfilas tzadik ben rosho, le tfilas tzadik ben tzadik. Because Yitzhak is a tzadik ben tzadik, so therefore Hashem listens to him. Okay? This is what Rashi says right here. Hashem listens to a tzadik ben tzadik. So what does it mean that tzadik ben Rosho Hashem doesn't listen to? No, but this is why the Torah says he listened to him first. And if he wouldn't have prayed, it sounds like if he wouldn't have prayed, that would be it. Because a prayer of a tzadik ben Rosho Hashem doesn't listen to. So the Torah Tumimo brings down very interesting in Halacha. In Halacha it says like this, in Orach Chaim, Simen Nun Gimel, says like this, the Bach Beis Chodesh and the Marshal say like this. Apparently, from here we see that if you have to appoint a cantor, if you have to appoint a chazan, and you have a choice, everything else being equal, choose a chazan who is a ben tzadik. That's what brings out Halacha from this Gemara. If it says Vayoser loy, so it must be that there is a mile. So you should choose a shat ben tzadik. So the Taz says right over there, ignore it. No importance whatsoever. The only thing that you should pay attention is Rachmono libo boy, the one that is a better heart, whatever that means. You know, it's whoever has more kavone. That's what you should choose. Who is his father? Don't even ask. It's absolutely irrelevant. That's what the dad says. It's irrelevant. So the Torah Tmimo says v'teimo. I mean, that's shocking. How can the Taz ignore a Gemara? I mean, the Gemara does say. So if the Taz can say, maybe there are other things that are more important. But how can the Taz say, ignore it completely? The Gemara doesn't ignore it. The Gemara says, Tzadik ben Tzadik is the reason why Hashem listens to Yitzchak. True. This was a statement. I don't understand it. So he says, an answer the Torah Tmimo doesn't have, but he says, I found that Gemara that on the surface seems to back the Taz. So it must be that that Gemara that backs the Taz argues with the Gemara that says here that Hashem listened to Yisrael because his father was a tzaddik. So it must be that the Taz is ignoring the Gemara because he's another Gemara. Couldn't be any other reason. What is the Gemara? The Gemara is in Taines Chof Hei. Maiseh Rabbi Eliezer sheyorad lifnei atevo velo yorduk shomi. It was a drought and Rabbi Eliezer prayed to Hashem and it didn't work. Rain didn't come down. Veyorad Rabbi Akiva veyorduk shomi. Rabbi Akiva went down and right away it started raining. Now, Rabbi Eliezer is older than Rabbi Akiva. He's like the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua were the Rabbeim of Rabbi Akiva. So people started saying, oh, you see, maybe Rabbi Eliezer is not as great as we think he is. So all of a sudden, the people who were there had like some kind of a message from Hashem. No, it's not true. It's not that Rabbi Akiva is greater than Rabbi Eliezer. Elo mipnei sheze mavir al midoiso, because Rabbi Akiva is an onov and mavir al midoiso, right? He's moicho very easily, meaning it is not strict, it's not makpid. So therefore, mido keneged mido, Hashem listened to him more than to Rabbi Eliezer, not because it's greater or anything else. Okay, now, who had a better pedigree, Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Akiva? What? Rabbi Eliezer, because it says Rabbi Akiva ben Geri. Rabbi Akiva has no pedigree whatsoever. He's like a son of converts. So obviously, the pedigree didn't matter at all. And still, what does the Gemara seem to imply? That the only thing that matters is the characteristics of Rabbi Akiva. And the fact that Rabbi Eliezer is a better pedigree is completely ignored in the Gemara. So you see that that Gemara must argue on this Gemara. So it must be, he says, that the Taz is relying on this Gemara, and the Taz is ignoring this Gemara that says that Tzadik ben Tzadik is important. What I don't understand is that he's really not answering anything. Because even if there is an argument between two Gemaras, let's say, if you can fulfill both, shouldn't you do it? Right? Let's say there is an argument. So if you have to make a choice between Gemara A and Gemara B, and one says against the other, so you have no choice, you have to take sides. But when you can fulfill both, why do you have to take sides? The Marshal and the Bach say, everything else being equal, you have two people that are exactly equal in everything else. You can't make a choice. But one, his father is a tzaddik, and the other one, his father is not a tzaddik, says the Marshal, take the chazen, whose father is a tzaddik. Comes the Taz and says, ignore it. Why ignore it? It's still the Gemara says yes. So even if you're going to say there is an argument, but why not fulfill both? You understand my, the question? Meaning, it's not really answering why the Taz is ignoring the Gemara. So I found in the name of the Kotzke Rebbe a pshat in the statement, Eino doime. Filo, tzaddik ben tzaddik, mit filo shel tzaddik ben rosho. That according to this interpretation, the statement doesn't mean at all what it sounds, what it says, literally. Now, what it says literally, that's not what it means. And according to the Kotzke Rebbe, we can really understand why the Taz ignored this Gemara. Because according to the Kotzke Rebbe, the Gemara is not saying what we think it's saying. Listen to this pshat by the Kotzke Rebbe. Koskorbe says like this. When a person is raised in the house of a tzaddik, he develops a certain attachment to toiv, to goodness, to good characteristics. And he appreciates goodness. When a person is a righteous man in a household of wickedness, even though he appreciates toiv, but still, since a person is raised in a house of wickedness by Rishoyim, so it is to affect his attitude. So therefore, what about if Rivka and Yitzchak, they are both told, you should know that in the next generation, there is going to be a Rosho coming out of you. The same way that from Avraham Avinu Ishmael came out, from you, something has to come out. In other words, the evil, the Zoyhamo, like the Zohar calls it, the dirt that goes through the genes has to be separated in order to purify Klal Yisrael, that eventually should be mitoso Yishleimo, it should be completely pure. So now, the question is, how do these wicked genes, how are they going to become part of the next generation? So Yitzchak prays, I want that it should be completely polarized. The good genes should go to one person, and the evil genes should go to the other person, in order that the goodness should remain good and the wickedness should remain wicked, and never the twain shall meet. Right? Should be absolutely separated, the good and the evil. Rivka, who was raised in a household of evil, she's much more tolerant of evil. Just the opposite. What she can't stand is the extreme of evil. So therefore she says, please God, well, I don't want extremes. I don't want one real tzaddik and one real Roshe. You want to give me one or two or three, it should be a mixture. It should be a mixture of both, like every human being. You have some good genes, you have some bad genes. That's what I want, because after all, she was raised in a household of Besuel and Lovon. So it says like this, Eino domo, you can't compare the prayer of Yitzchak, who has a tremendous, tremendous appreciation of Tov, to the point that he's willing to pay the price that the wrath should be concentrated in one person. Rivka, who doesn't have such an appreciation of Tov, she's much more tolerant of wrath, so therefore she's willing to accept the mixture of Tov and wrath. So, Vayeotar lo Hashem. So Hashem answers him. In other words, the way Rivka got pregnant is through Yitzchak's prayers and not Rivka. Not that Hashem didn't give Rivka a child. In that Hashem answered Rivka. But in this detail of what kind of children they're going to have, it's going to be a polarized situation that one will have all the good genes and one will have all the evil genes. Okay? Now, according to this pshat of the Kotzker, it doesn't mean eino doime, as everybody learns, that you can't compare the tefillah of a tzaddik ben rosho to a klal ben tzaddik, because a tzaddik ben tzaddik Hashem listens to. Not at all. Hashem listened to him because Hashem agreed with him that Klal Yisrael needs the purification, and in order to become purified, it has to polarize the good and the evil. This is why Hashem listened to him. Not because he's a tzaddik ben tzaddik. Because he's a tzaddik ben tzaddik, this is why he prayed that there should be polarized the good and the evil. And now, according to the Kotzker, of course, the Taz is understood straight. What does the Taz say? Ignore the Gemara. What does it mean? Ignore the simple pshat in the Gemara. The simple pshat in the Gemara is that everything else being equal, a tzaddik ben tzaddik's tefillah is better. Not at all. We don't see it from the Gemara. All we see from the Gemara is that it's different, that a tzaddik ben tzaddik will ask for a polarization of good and evil, and a tzaddik ben rosho won't. That's all we see. And it also answers the meaning of Pasuk Chof. Remember, we asked, Vayhi Yitzchok ben Avraham Shono, Bekachtu Yitzchok, Bas Psuel, Achoy Shlovo Norami. Big deal. I mean, who cares? What does it have to do with the tefillah of Pasuk Chof Aleph? According to the Kotzker, one is the cause for the other. Because Yitzchok, who is the son of Avraham Avinu, married Rivka, who is the daughter of the Besuel and the sister of Lovon, this is why their prayers were opposite. And now we can really understand, what does it mean that they are both in opposite corners? So he said, the local, the place in the room, that's important. Just a metaphor. They are in opposite corners. In their understanding, they are in extremes. One understands that the best way is that they should be polarized, the good and the evil, and the one is in the other extreme. The one understands, no, I don't want polarization. The main thing is that mixture of good and evil. That it shouldn't be too good and not too evil. This is what it means, bezovizeh, bezovizeh. Doesn't mean that it's enough kamina if you pray in one corner or in the other corner. That's absolutely irrelevant. This is the pshat.
It's all based on the concept that they knew that there was going to be good and evil.
Yeah, that's it. You know, they had Ruach HaKodesh, that for two generations, until the third, now the mitosoi shleimo, the one that's going to have a pure descendancy, and even then, there was a mistake made by the brothers, interesting, that it has to be three generations of purification. And they thought that who is the third one? Yosef, exactly. They thought that Yosef is the third in the chain. Ishmael, Esau, Yosef, so we gotta get rid of it. But the question was, you know, there's a machloket, whether the third time is the chazoke, or you need three times in order to the fourth, for the fourth time to be chazoke. So that was the question. But there was no question about it, that there has to be a release of the wicked genes in another direction. That's why Ishmael had to be born, and this is why Esau has to be born. Then it says like this, Pasuk Chof Beis. Vayiseroitzetzu habonim bekirbo. And the children, like, she felt movement inside her stomach. Vatoimer im kein lomo ze onoichi. So what good is it, the whole thing? So, let's follow this idea of the Kotzker Rebbe. That in Rivka's mind, the goal, the ideal is the mixture. Now, Rashi says, what bothered Rivka over here? To the point that she's going out of her mind, and she says, Lo mozeo noichi, why do I live? I mean, it's better to die than to live. For what? What happened? Because she feels movement in her stomach? No, says Rashi, something else. She, you know that in those days, people interpreted signs. Something happened in their life, so that's a sign for something else. You know what I mean? They took signs, external signs, in a much more serious manner, because it meant something. So it says like this. Kishehoiso iveres al bischei toiro shel shem ve'eiver. When Rivka would take a walk near the place of shem ve'eiver, Yaakov rots umefarches lotzeis. Yaakov wants to go out, so she feels a tremendous pull. But when she goes by, I mean, the area, of course, was full of places with Oved Avodah Zarah. Eisov mefarches lotzeis. So she couldn't understand. I mean, one direction, the other direction. So therefore she said, no, she can take that, and she has to find out what's going on. So it's very, very difficult. What's wrong? I mean, why couldn't she think that Yitzchok's prayer was answered? And therefore, there are two, and one, you know, is the good one is pulling to one side, and the evil one is pulling to the other side. So the truth of the matter is, it's just the opposite. This strengthens the Kotzker Rebbe. You see, she doesn't know what Yitzchok is praying for. She really doesn't know. She thinks that the best way is that combination of good and evil that will make him an average person. So when she feels the two poles, then she says, that's not what I meant at all. I didn't mean somebody with a mixture that should have within him both extremes. That was, he should be a noyved avodah zarah and a noyved Hashem. That's not what I meant. I meant that his avdus b'Hashem shouldn't be extreme. So in other words, he should feel like an average person. But I didn't mean extremes. So this is why the answer is, Vayomer Hashem lo shnei goyim bevitneich. You are really having two, and they are polarized. So now Rivka finds out that her prayer was not answered, right? But up to this point, she thought her prayer is answered. Look, it's not. That's not what I meant. So this is why Hashem says, don't worry about it. It's not your prayer, it's your husband's prayer. What an interesting comment here. The Vatelech Lidroises Hashem. So it's a machloikes here, Rashi and the Ramban. What is the meaning of Vatelech Lidroises Hashem? So Rashi learns like the Unklus. If you take a look in Targum Unklus, it says like this, Va'azolas Lemitva Ulpan. Ulpan means to find out what's going on, to learn what's going on, Lidroish. Ramban says that the word Lidroish is Hashem, Dirshu es Hashem bimotzoi, means praying. So he says, Vatelech Lidroish es Hashem means he went to pray. Right? And that which it says, Vayomer Hashem lo shnei goyim bevitnei, that's nothing to do with the prayer. And I was, the prayer was, please, you know, that things should work out okay. Hashem answered her, but that's not the answer to the Lidroish es Hashem according to the Ramban. So the simple pshat is like Rashi. Telech Lidroish es Hashem, and the answer was Vayomer Hashem lo. But very interesting, I saw a midrash, and you'll see that the midrash is a clear riot to the Ramban and not like Rashi. Listen to this midrash. Midrash is right here in the Yalkut Shimoni, and it says like this. Why did she go? It says that she went to the Shem Vo'ever. Where did she go? Vatele. She went to Shem Vo'ever. Why did she go there for? Couldn't she have prayed at home? That's what, that's what the Midrash asks. Answers the Midrash. From here it's Araye, that your prayers are answered more in the place where they're Talmidei Chachomim learning. So, who does the Midrash go according to? No question about this, Ramban's Pshat, that it's prayers. Because according to Rashi, the Midrash's question is no question. Why did she go there? Why didn't she stay at home? If she went to shame to ask shame, to ask Hashem what's going on, so how can the question be, why didn't she stay at home? According to the Ramban, it does make sense. If Lidroish es Hashem means to daven, so then the question is very good. You want to daven? Why aren't you daven at home? The answer is that davening over there is better. So here you see from the Midrash, a chloroi according to Ramban, not according to Rashi. Anyway, what is the answer of Hashem? Shnei goyim bevitneich, ushnei leumim memeyaich yiporeinu. There will be two nations coming out of you. Uleoim mileoim yeemots. What is the meaning of leoim mileoim yeemots? One nation will be stronger than the other nation. So good, so what does that show us? So, says the Gemara, what it shows us is that they both will not be successful at the same time, like Rashi brings down. Loi nismale tzor elo mechurbono shel Yerushalayim, which means it's either tzor, Tyre, or Yerushalayim. Tyre, that's where, let's say, the Roman center at the time was in Tyre. So it says it's either Tyre will be successful or Yerushalayim, but not both of them. Which means either the Jews are on top, either Yaakov is on top or Esav is on top. They both will not be on top at the same time. That's what oim mila oim yemot means. Now, then it says like this: Vayimlu yomeo loledes v'inei shoyim b'vitno. She sees that she has twins. Vayetzei horishon admoini, and the first one comes out admoini, red. Kuloi ke'aderes seyor. Says Rashi, like covered with like with hair as if it would be wool. Says Rashi. Vayikru shmoi Esau. Says Rashi. Vayikru plural. Hakol koruloikein. Everybody says, look, he's Esau. Why? Because the word Esau means like this. Lefisho yo naso nase venigmar. Besaroi keven shonim harbe. It's like an older child. He has the amount of hair of an older child. So therefore, it's Esau, which means a ready-made product. Like asui, mashehu asui. Ve'acharei kein yotzo ochiv. And after that, yotzo ochiv. Ve'yodoi oichezes ba'akei ve'iso. Vayikrosh mo'yakoiv. And they call vayikro singular. Vayikro. And he called Yaakov. Says Rashi, why isn't it by Esau? It says Vayikru, plural. In Vayakov, it's only Vayikro. Says Rashi, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, because Vayikro means the one, he called him Yaakov. Or, Oviv Korole Yaakov. But by Esav, everybody called him Esav. What is the significance of that? What difference does it make? Everybody called him. Yaakov called him. Yitzhak called him. Hashem called him. Also, what's the significance of being covered completely by hair? What is the significance of the hair? And also, what is the significance of the redness, Admoni? Now, we are going to find again a repetition of the importance of the color red by Esav in Posuk Lamed. When Esav comes back from the field and he's tired, he's hungry, and when Yaakov is cooking lentils, he doesn't call the lentils by its name, lentils. He calls them Minho Odoim Odoim Azeh. Again, a repetition of Odoim as an important matter by Esav. And even more strange is the fact that Posuk Lamed finishes Al Kein Koro Shmoi Edoim. The name remains Edoim because he called the lentils Odoim Odoim. What is it? What is the significance of that fact? So, it says in this forum the following. You know that in reality, when we say that all the wicked genes went to Esav, what does it mean? That Esav is a Rosho by birth? Esav is not a Rosho by birth. So somebody's going to ask, so what do you mean? But it says clearly, he's the man who went, who wanted to go out to be Oved Avodah Zarah. Now, even when he was still a fetus, he was already a Rosho. Now, does that fit with our belief in free will? I mean, if he's already a Rosho from birth, from before birth, before there is even a Yetzer Hara, right? The Gemara says that the Yetzer Hara comes into the child when he's born. And it is even before he has a Yetzer Hara, that means that his whole nature is Ra. Not that he has a Yetzer Hara, his whole nature is Ra. So what's going on? What happened? So this is a very, it's an interesting, like, a nice joke somebody made. You know, there was there's a Rebbe, the Klausenberger Rebbe. He asked this question. He says, what's going on? I mean, the Gemara says that the Yetzer Hara comes into the person when he's born. So how can it be that Esau wanted to go out from the stomach when there is no Yetzer Hara? So he said, no, you know what Esau wanted to do? He wanted to go out to throw stones at Avodah Zarah. Says that's what, you know, that's what Esav is. You know, he wants to throw stones, and you know he wants to make it look that he's a big tzaddik, because that he does say that the main concern for Esav was that externally he should look like a tzaddik. That was the main concern. He didn't care about being a tzaddik, but his main concern was what people are going to say, how it looks on the exterior. That's Esav, as we are going to see later on. But the reality is that the combination of Esav and Yaakov was supposed to be a partnership. If it says here in Pasuk 28, Vayehav Yitzchok es Esav, Yitzchok loved Esav, ki tzayid befiv, because he's a good hunter, right? Does that really mean that Yitzchok appreciated hunting? I mean, everybody's a good hunter, became a favorite of Esav. That doesn't make any sense. How can Yitzchok, who is such a spiritual man, love Esau more than Yaakov? Right? Even though he doesn't say that, more than Yaakov. He says he had a special love for Esau because he was a hunter. What does that mean? What it means is the following. We know that from the beginning of times, Hashem wanted to create partnerships. Odom and Chavo is a partnership. Chavo, the job of Chavo is to take care of all the physical needs of Odom. And Odom is going to provide all the spiritual needs to Chava. In the words of the Maral, Odom is the Tzura, Chava is the Choymer. She has more contact with this physical world, which means the following. The decision what to eat, who is going to make the decision what to eat between Odom and Chava? Of course it has to be Chava. So when we say, how could Odom take the food that Chava offers him? Oh, that's natural. Chava makes the decisions of what to eat. So of course Adam is going to eat what Chava gives him. Good partnership didn't work out. But there are other partnerships. The original idea of Ishmael and Yitzchak is also a semi-partnership relationship. As a matter of fact, it says like this. When the Malach told Hagar, go back and become subservient to Sarah. Remember that statement, become subservient to Sarah. That's not just like a temporary advice. It means that if your relationship to Sarah will be the relationship of subservience, and that relationship will be transferred to the next generation, that Ishmael will be subservient to Yitzchak, then they'll retain the partnership. Yishmael will serve Yitzchak, and Yitzchak will be the spiritual man, and Ishmael will be the physical man. Same thing is with the Esav and Yaakov. Yaakov is Ishtom Yoshev Oyoli. Yaakov is the man who is only involved in spiritual endeavors. What does it mean, Ishtom Yoshev Oyoli, sitting in the tent? Sitting in the tent, says the oral tradition, it means Oyolo Shel Torah. We are talking about spiritual life, that Yaakov was only concerned with spiritual life. So who is going to take care of all his physical needs? Esav. What's going to be with Esav's spiritual needs? So it's Yaakov. Yaakov and Esav make up the partnership. And this is what Yitzchak saw. According to the ideal that Yitzchak envisioned, Esav will take care of all physical things. Of course, someone who is completely involved in physical things, who has no attachment to spirituality, will end up being an Oyved Avodah Zarah. It's true. But if he attaches himself to Yaakov, then he's safe. And in reality, such a partnership is repeated again in a successful way by the sons of Yaakov. The partnership of Issachar and Zvulun is a repetition of what Yaakov and Esav is supposed to be, which didn't work out. But by Issachar and Zvulun, it did work out under certain circumstances. So the point is like this. When it says, Vayehav Yitzchok es Esav kitzayit befiv, it means that Esav will take care of all the physical things. That's why he loved him. He loved him because he's going to take care of Yaakov. That's why he loves him. What's the problem? So what is the nature of Esav? That he is only involved in the physical things. Physical things, that's what matters to him. Everything which is physical is superficial. We see the whole physical world as the surface of something much, much deeper, which means there is a spiritual world that's sort of covered up with this physical world of ours. So if all you see is the physical, then you ignore what's behind that physical world of ours. The more you pay attention to the physical, the more you ignore the spiritual. When you become completely obsessed with the physical, at that point, your relationship with the spiritual becomes non-existent. Okay, now. You know a nozir? A nozir has to let his hair grow. Now, what is the symbolism of letting his hair grow? So it says like this. The Gemara says in the Dori that hair is the symbol of physicality, materialism. As a matter of fact, it says the Gemara in the Dori says, Shimon HaTzadik Goymer, Shimon HaTzadik says, Le'oilom, I never ate from a korban of a nozir, of a korban osham that a nozir brings, I never ate. Because I always suspect when somebody becomes a nozir, he abstains from wine, that he has some kind of an ulterior motive, there is no real purity in his decision. Except for that one case, he says, that young man who was extremely good looking, he says, extremely good looking, and he had long hair, and then it says that he saw his reflection in a pond, and he was so overwhelmed by his own beauty that he decided that unless he gives up his hair to God, he won't be able to be a master of himself. So therefore, he gave up the hair to God. How do you give up your hair to God? You become a nozir. And at the end of the Nazirus, you know what they do? They cut your hair, and while they are burning the korban, the hair is offered to Hashem, which means the hair is the symbol of your relation to the physical world, like this young man whose relationship to the physical world was expressed with his long hair. the nauseous, leaving his long hair, is a sign that he's willing to give it up for God. That is what a nozir is. He gives up his hair to Hashem. The seor, the hair, is actually to Hashem. So someone who doesn't give it up to Hashem, so then the hair becomes a symbol of wickedness, of the opposite. In other words, the hair is either something that you can either give up to Hashem or to yourself. But that is the danger point. That's the test. The hair is the test. So now, by Esav, he was covered by hair. What does it mean? He was a man who was completely involved in the physical. Had he been able to overcome it and retain the partnership with Yaakov, then his side of the deal would have been fulfilled. The moment he abandoned his relationship to Yaakov and he became completely independent, to the point, say Chazal, that he went and he killed the man who had the most beautiful garments in the world at the time. You know what the Gemara says? He killed Nimrod in order to take his garment. A garment again. What is a garment? The external covering, meaning he becomes overwhelmed by Hashem, the rebellion against the spiritual nature of life. He is the man who wanted to build a tower to remove God from their life. So he takes over the begodim that represents the real physicality of Nimrod. He's taken over by Esav. Now, the most superficial, in other words, the most superficial of every color, in other words, which is the color that will a person will react to first? It will attract his sight first, because as far as superficial, the superficial reaction is the one that attracts the most intense reaction. You know what the color is? It is red. It's always red, right? Which means that Esav, when he's becoming completely involved in the physical, what matters more than anything to him? The color of something, because the color is the most superficial part, right? First I'll see it's brown, then I'll see it's a table, because that's my first reaction. Before he realizes that it's lentils, right? He realizes that it's red. And what does he call it? That red thing. You know, he's not even bothered with looking into it. What is that red stuff? I don't care, as long as it's red. Which means, by him, the superficiality of it is the most important part. Esav is overcome, he's obsessed with the superficiality. That's the same day that he stole the begodim, which is the superficial covering of Nimrod. That's the same day that he comes in, and the lentils mean nothing to him. It's the redness of it. That's what means something to him. Okay, so now, this is the meaning of the color red. The redness of Esav is not just a coincidence that he came out red. That's the nature. The nature of Edom, the nature of Esav, is the redness. It means that he reacts only to what's superficial. Anything beyond the surface means absolutely nothing to him. That's the redness. That is the hair. The hair also is something that covers the superficial part. This is the begodim. And this is what it says, what it means when it says, Vayikra Shmoy Edoy. The name remains Edoy. We'll continue, Glenn.